I want you to get together.
Hello, everyone. So this is a check-in video. More than anything, it's a Tuesday morning for me. This is the morning I do work. Yeah, I spend about 4 to 5 hours in the office every morning on a Tuesday. Just catching up on emails, responding to people, you know, doing everything that you need to do when you're kind of self-employed. Making sure all my receipts are in order, you know, subscriptions, all that type of stuff, tax things. And, you know, I also then find my chance to respond to people who have sent me some messages here and there, organize whatever I can, basically, to keep this channel going and to keep things going. And it's been a funny week for me, to be honest, because I spent the morning trying to record my audiobook, chapter 7 of 20 chapters for the Nephilim Look Like Clowns, and as you can't tell, I'm still a little bit bunged up from being ill over the past week, and it feels like everyone's ill at the moment. Everyone's telling me they're ill all over the place, no matter where I go, and it's the changing of the seasons, perhaps more pollen in the air, I don't know, but I was struggling to record this audiobook, and you know, I'm the Nephilim Clown guy. And this is something I've got to get done, because as I'm going through reading it out loud, I'm making minor edits to the text to kind of refine it a bit more, because I'm realizing books read differently when you read them out loud than when you read them in your head. And you can't really know how a book sounds or how the flow of a book goes with punctuation until you read it out loud. So I'm learning a lot, and I'm kind of having to make a second edition of the book doing this in a way. And it's not, I'm not changing the details or anything or adding new information. I'm just literally changing punctuation and flow throughout the book and the odd capital letter mistake here and there. So as I'm working on that, I know I just finished that and I was thinking to myself, like, right, so I've got these two topics, you know, Little Season and the Nephilim Look Like Clowns. And there's going to be a lot more coming on the Nephilim Look Like Clowns. I can tell you that right now, because I'm writing the second volume as well. And I'm uncovering just more and more information about different tribes all over the earth who dress like clowns to channel the spirits of the Nephilim. And, you know, a lot of people who have come to my channel don't know about that aspect of my work, because they are solely interested in the Little Season theory stuff, which is great as well, you know. But I'm more than just a one-trick pony when it comes to conspiracies. And though I know I am discussing this emerging theory of the Little Season, you know, I didn't create that idea or that concept. I'm just one of the many brilliant voices in this community. Not even the best. I'm saying everyone else is brilliant, not me. You know, I'm just one of the voices in this community who is sharing so much information on that topic. And I just like relaying whatever I find to you guys. And but the Nephilim clown thing is kind of like my thing, you know. And I've said this before, you know, and I'm saying it again. I'm kind of looking forward to be able to kind of put a pin in the Nephilim clown research and kind of moving on and pivoting and focusing more on other things. Because I've been doing that one for almost a decade now, practically a decade. I've been researching the Nephilim clown stuff, and it's kind of, I don't know how much more I could really say without repeating myself, because the point is the point. But I will be making more videos kind of centered around that topic as going forward as I write the book, because it's kind of, sometimes I write a chapter and I'm like, that's a good video in itself. That's a great video script. So expect that in the future, you know. But I was thinking about the Little Season stuff after recording this book, and I kind of pivoted. And I'm like, what? There's plenty of things still to be said, plenty of research coming forward, plenty of big news surrounding this Little Season thing. And I feel like it might be a good chance for me to kind of get a bit retrospective about the Little Season theory in general. And I know some, well, not some, maybe like 0.3% of my listeners who just want to complain about everything, you know, are probably sick of me just sat here rambling and meandering on about my thoughts about the concept of the Little Season rather than bringing you presentations with brand new facts, which I try and do every now and then. But this channel really is a place where I like to just think about the ideas and see where they lead. Thinking about the information we already have and the implications, you know. And right now, we need to really start thinking about this idea and its growth in general, I think, and where it's leading and kind of what we can do or what we should be looking forward to or what we should be worried about in terms of, as a topic in conspiracy, its future. because I've been watching the conspiracy culture for a long time, over a decade, 14, 15 years now, you know. And I've seen patterns emerge. I've seen things happen with popular topics, which I wouldn't want to happen necessarily to this community, you know, and we've got to be so careful. And I think in many ways I'm sitting here wondering and thinking if many of these things can even be avoided, or if this is just the natural course of things when a new topic appears on the scene. Because people, for example, I mentioned in my last live stream that I've been approached by a very kind lady who is excited and a part of our community who wants to maybe put on some kind of like panel convention style 1.5 day event in America where all the content creators who are in this scene can come together and people can come and meet them and Q&As and have presentations and things like that. A convention basically for Little Season believers. And I thought that would be interesting. I'd like to see that happen. You know, that'd be fun for one. And I think it'd be great to connect. And I think it'd be great to meet other content creators in person as well. And I think it'd be good for fellowship as well in many ways. And I don't know if that'll ever come to fruition. She's working on it. I'll bring more news when I can. But then other people like sent messages saying, well, not again, it's like 1% who were like this, who are very negative about the idea. And their fears aren't ungrounded. One kind of issue or fear which I heard was it's going to cheapen the whole thing. And we shouldn't be acting like that. When you have conventions, they end up becoming ridiculous clown shows like the Flat Earth did. You know, they have their conventions and they're just absolutely ridiculous. And it's funny he said that because the person who wants to put this on made it clear to me she's hyper-focused about how delicately she has to deal with this because she doesn't want it to ruin the image or tarnish the research being done in any way, because she believes, just as I believe, this is very important. This shouldn't be messed with in a way. So she's highly sensitive about who she's going to let talk and how long we're going to talk for and the topics people are going to talk about, as not to veer off or meander or create a bad image and all this type of thing. And these are things we do. It seems like everybody's in the Little Season is really rooting for this not to get destroyed or co-opted or ruined or tarnished or in any way, because it is such a powerful topic. And we don't want to ruin it. And I want to kind of, first of all, assure listeners out there that we are being careful at every step with this. We're doing what we can. And if we did put on like a convention, it wouldn't be like a Comic-Con type thing. It'd basically be a gathering of like-minded people to come and listen to each other talk and share presentations around the idea. That's all it is. I mean, we won't make it much more than that, you know. It may be filmed. There may be other ways we can do this. Things will be shared afterwards, you know. And we want to be very careful. Another issue is this topic is now reaching higher echelons of podcastdom, you know, and bigger players in the game like Joe Rogan have now heard this topic, as be it they've heard me talking about it. And, you know, Eddie Bravo, who I was invited on through Flat Bear, who recommended me to Eddie Bravo, you know, so a small guy who makes small videos on Instagram, who's just happens to message and talk with Eddie Bravo, sent Eddie Bravo a message on the off chance that he'd be interested in talking with me. Eddie Bravo said, yeah, sure, let's do it. Why not? And next thing I know, I'm talking to Eddie Bravo like 2 weeks later or a week later. And I explained to him this Little Season theory. And he loves it. His mind's blown, as it should be, as it always is. And he starts going through the obvious things we all go through when we first hear these things. And that's wonderful. And I thought nothing of it from there. I left it. The next thing I know, he's messaging me saying, Paul, I'm going to see Joe in a week, in a couple of days, or something like that. He says, his urgency was like, I need it now. I need you to send me a video now that I can share with Joe. And then a couple of days later, he's there with Joe sharing my video. And I didn't realize he'd be doing that live on Joe Rogan's podcast. I thought he was just going to share it with him behind the scenes or something. I didn't know that that's what would happen, but that did happen. And here we are now. And people are inundating me with messages, kind of worried and scared, like, because they don't trust Joe Rogan. And they're accusing him of being all sorts of things, which maybe he is, maybe he isn't. I don't know. Like, and I am not going to make my moves based on assumptions that people are bad, are inherently evil or bad. And if they are controlled or whatever you want to call them, you know, then so what? It's about planting seeds to the audiences, necessarily not always convincing the person you're talking to. And that's fine. But it's interesting to see people are worried because I get it, because it seems like this is how things get co-opted. You know, when the big people start talking about it, they're the only ones people start listening to. And the true grassroots people at the bottom get put to the wayside, and then the movement gets hijacked and maneuvered by bigger people who then send it down a really ridiculous route and just discredit the whole thing. That is a possibility. I can legitimately see that coming in the future. But at the same time, you can't really stop people talking about things. I can't stop Eddie Bravo talking about this, or Joe Rogan, or anybody. You can't. How are we supposed to... What can I do? A cease and desist? What are we supposed to do? Sue them? It's like, no, we talked about it first. Like, it doesn't... That's ridiculous, you know? Ideas are ideas, and they're going to spread whether you like it or not. And I think we've done a good job at getting this to a lot of people. And I think we've done a good job at establishing ourselves as kind of like the go-to group who have kind of already been doing this for a couple of years, for a few years now. And I think we've created a decent enough network that it would be tough to just start a new one and roll with it now. And like I said, we are all ambassadors for this concept and idea, and we're trying our best to keep it legit. And, you know, any information that comes our way, we're trying our best to examine it with tempered reason. And we're always reminding each other to take it easy a little bit when we do discover something new. Like, we had the hagiography thing about a week ago, and I made it clear repeatedly in my presentation, this could be fake. This could just be AI imagining things and misleading us. It could be an attempt to muddy the waters. And it turns out a lot of that may have been just that, you know? And it's not because of the fault of the person who compiled the thing. It's because the programs involved are tricky and sneaky and do lie. But off the back of that, it's inspired a whole new realm of research into hagiography, looking at the sources we can get that aren't AI through basically analog means, and the stories we're now finding are incredible of what the saints were doing during a medieval period. Some of these stories are amazing, and good fruit has come from the initial bad fruit, you know, so we're always correcting ourselves, we're always stepping back and re-examining things. I think that's a great image for the community as a whole to be doing that at all times, and we are always kind of trying to self-correct one another, because this is new. This is so new. And I'm kind of thinking again about future. Where is this going? What's going to happen here? Well, clearly, this is going to get to bigger audiences. I'll be talking with Sam Tripoli about this soon. I'll be talking to David Rodriguez about this. And these are people now who are getting up into the platforms of the hundreds of thousands, not just like the tens of thousands. We're kind of at this level, entry level, you know. And bigger audiences are going to get this, which brings bigger reactions. And there's going to be a lot more naysayers, arguments, people who just do not understand what's going on. We're going to get a lot more anti-religious people getting on board, because right now it's kind of a captive market. If you've discovered this topic and you're researching it thoroughly, you're likely going to be a Christian or religious in some way or spiritual in some way. But these audiences we're reaching are probably anti-religious or completely just atheistic or a-religious, shall we say, not necessarily anti-religious, but just not, it's not a thought for them, and they're probably going to think what we're doing are the ramblings of the insane. You know? And from their perspective, that's probably what it does look like to them, isn't it? But they're going to get involved as well in the community. But at the same time, many people are coming to Christ and finding faith, a renewed faith in God. Those who have fallen away are coming back. Those who perhaps never understood are now understanding the necessity of Christ and the truth in Christ, thanks to this theory. So the fruit is there, it's powerful, and it's a good thing. I think it's a good thing that we're discussing these ideas and offering alternative eschatologies to the dominant one that's been kind of putting itself at the forefront since the beginning of the 20th century, you know, when really it is a new belief system to think that everything's dispensationalist futurism. realistically, you know, as it is today in all the churches. Historicism was kind of big prior to that, to its popularity today, and amillennialism prior to that was quite big as well. And this idea of, you know, preterism, so-called, this isn't preterism, by the way, what we're doing here. We're not spiritualizing anything. Preterism doesn't talk about a little season. It talks about basically an indefinite symbolic reign of Christ, and then a new heaven and earth after judgment, but it doesn't mention the little season. We're focused primarily on a physical, literal reign of Christ and his saints on earth in our history that's been hidden at some point through conspiratorial means, and then a literal time where people are alive, which could be us, which is called the little season, where we've been completely deceived and lied to about where we are in the timeline. That's different. That's not any of these formalized beliefs prior. This is new, but it's making a hell of a lot of sense of things. And like I said, it's inspiring people's faith in big ways. So I can only look at this now and think like, well, God's doing something. The Holy Spirit's moving here through a collective of people. And all we can do is just present ourselves before those who are asking and do the best we can and just let the Holy Spirit talk. And that's kind of my method to all of this. I think people are saying, Paul, you need to pray for protection. You need to do this. And it's like, look, guys, don't worry. I'm praying every day for protection. I am praying all the time, ceaselessly in my mind. I'm talking with God to make sure I'm doing the right thing at the right time. I'm saying the right thing. And when it comes to the, you know, the 11th hour, and it's kind of, okay, you're about to go on this podcast, Paul, with 500,000 people, right? I don't worry about it. I don't prepare. I don't prep. I don't think about it. I calm my mind, I just sit there, take a breath, and I have a conversation, I let it flow. I've always done that. I don't prepare, because I am of this attitude that the Holy Spirit will say what needs to be said, okay? I am just a good and faithful servant. I am a humble servant letting the Holy Spirit do what it needs to do. And if it's going to use me for whatever purpose, then let it be so. What else can I do? And I just let the conversation flow, and it happens, and it seems to always work out positively so far. And if it works, don't break it. Don't fix it. Like, I'm just going to leave it as it is and continue this method. And like I said, it's the movement, the idea, the concept seems to be going from strength to strength. And there may be the odd people in the wilderness who are kind of screaming at us heresy, blasphemy, cult, and all this type of stuff from the distance, you know, firing arrows here and there and slinging stones at us. But nothing's sticking. Everything's bouncing off of us. And we keep going from strength to strength, and our numbers are growing faster, because it's not about those leaders of the old guard who are losing grip of their established order. It's about the people who have been listening to them, hearing something different and realizing there are alternatives out there. And those are the people we're really trying to convince and reach. It's kind of exciting in a way. And I feel humbled and honored to have played a small part in this. But like I said, our numbers are growing more and more each day, and people are creating more and more content every day to help contribute towards this, which is this body of work, which is incredible. But again, future prospects thinking here. There's another idea, another concept I've kind of like been thinking that could happen to us, which we need to look out for in a way. Going off the models of what have come to other topics in the past, like Flat Earth or Mandela Effect or whatever it is, you know, whatever big topic it was. Like, we have in a way created a network of content creators loosely connected via the belief, you know, the foundational belief that Jesus Christ resurrected is what's necessary for salvation, and that's what matters, and that's the truth. Everything else from that, you know, we have our interpretive differences here and there. Our styles are different, our backgrounds are different, and that's why I say loosely connected, but we're all standing strong on the faith that Christ kept his word, and he told the truth, and we need to take it literally, okay? So we created this loose network, and people are coming to see and know this loose network of characters involved in this community. And that's wonderful. But what I could see happening, which I've seen happen in other topics, is another group's going to form. it's either going to be a schism from the original or a faction rising up out of another seemingly grassroots movement. They're going to suddenly get big, and they're going to have their own network discussing the Little Season. Okay. And they're going to be at odds with the network we already have in some way. And then there's going to be war between the two because they're going to disagree fundamentally on something, some particular subtopic within the genre. I don't know what it is. And if when that starts happening, that's likely the COINTELPRO controlled opposition situation kicking off where they're trying to hijack and redirect the movement. And like I said, this can happen with bigger channels. Bigger channels who already have large followings will suddenly take it and roll with it and make claim it as their own. That could happen. Or it could be a smaller group will rise and they will kind of like create their own thing, gain popularity, as opposed to the old group. You know? And then this group will not cooperate with the other, and that will cause an issue in the future. I could see something like that happening. I can. I really can. It might even be the case in, because I'm naive, I try and get on with everybody and I'm nice to everybody, but it could be the case that there's people in our group already who hate each other, who don't like one another and just pretending to be nice for all I know, and maybe that will happen. Maybe it will be a natural break through disagreements coming in the future. And I hope not, I pray not. I pray we can get past one another's differences and we can always stay healthy and strong with each other and respect each other's boundaries as well, and this type of thing, without letting it affect the research as a whole. But as my mum used to always say to me, you know, there's no queerer than folk, and like, people are just weird. People are just naturally drama fueled. People are difficult. You know? And we naturally fall apart, argue, have personal issues and different differences. And it's, when you're working in a people-orientated business, which I am doing, I'm a content creator, and you meet people who just don't like you, or you meet strange people, and you meet angry people, you meet all sorts of people. Everyone's different, you know. It takes all sorts to make licorice, is another British term. And it's kind of, it comes with the territory of being in the public and working with people, that you're going to have disagreements, arguments, fallouts, and this type of thing. We always just need to be consciously aware that we're not going to let it disrupt the integrity of the research itself. Like, just because an individual might say something or fall away or do something stupid doesn't mean that the whole movement itself needs to get brought down with it, you know? And that doesn't mean we have to ostracize and cast out people either. We can always do our best to reproach, reprove, and improve each other and refine each other as best we can, you know. And I think another thing I'm seeing lately, like I said, and I kind of want to bring it up, is this idea that we as content creators aren't allowed to talk to bigger content creators about this because, like I said, this fear of control or something like this. And it's a phrase from Jesus himself, though I enjoyed hearing Joe say it quite a lot from, you know, JT follows JC. And it's kind of like, I'm going to start saying that more too, because that's bang on point. And I think we should maybe adopt it more as a slogan for the actual movement when it comes to who we should and shouldn't talk to, you know. And I think the idea is it's the sick who need a physician. And we should always remember that. Like, you can't say you can't talk to that person because they've got tattoos, or you can't talk to that person because they're too big and powerful and they hang about with this person, or you can't talk to that person because they're not a Christian, or you can't talk to that person because they have this belief, or they're a Muslim, or they're a Jew, or they're a Buddhist, or they're a New Ager, or whatever. You cast aspersions and labels onto people and say you can't talk to them because I am here to spread the gospel. I'm here to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, resurrected, of our sins paid for in full by his sacrifice through his blood, so we may have everlasting life at the final judgment and be seen as spotless and clean in the eyes of God when it comes to that judgment. I'm here to spread the good news of your free gift of salvation and place in the new heaven and earth. I am not here to stay in an echo chamber and only talk to those who are already saved and believe already. I'm not here to do that. We're called to make disciples of all men, of all nations. that is the Great Commission as far as I'm concerned, that I am trying to fulfill and follow. So I am going to be talking to people who don't align to our beliefs. Okay, I am going to be doing that. I'm going to be reaching into those places, those pits of dens of vipers, you know, where supposedly the worst of the worst dwell, where our enemies dwell. I'm going to try my best to shine a light and attract whoever is in that darkness towards it. I'm going to do whatever I can. Okay, and that's the light of Christ, by the way, not me. Okay, I'm not doing anything. Again, I'm just going to let the Holy Spirit speak. I'm going to let the words flow as it needs to flow. I'm going to keep it Christ-centric at all times and always point to him as the savior, because I can't save anybody, but I can be a signpost to salvation. And that's what we're all trying to be in this movement. And like I said, we've been accused of all sorts of things in the past year. As this is gaining traction, we have been dragged through the mud. We have had everything thrown at us so far. Like I said, we've been accused of being satanic, spreader of false doctrines, heretics, a cult, and the rest, you know, and we've been smeared left, right, and center by Christians and non-Christians alike, but primarily old guard Christian truthers, which is kind of sad, you know. And none of it stuck, because the truth stands no matter what. You can do whatever you want. You know, you can accuse the truth of anything. You can try and paint over the truth or whatever it is. It'll always shine through. It'll always come through. It'll always be uncorruptible and never changing and objective, no matter what. So no fear. Stay strong. Keep going. Wherever you are in this journey with us, if you're a content creator like me, or if you're just somebody out there trying to tell your loved ones and family about this, no fear. The truth is the truth. Stand by it. Stand by your word. Believe that Jesus Christ told the truth and he didn't lie, and he did come back to those people and fulfill his promise to those in that time like he said he would. I know it's hard in the face of the world and the teachings they have given us about history. History was written by the winners. History is a series of lies agreed upon, okay? A lot of it is false. A lot of it is in the wrong place on the timeline. A lot of it is over-exaggeration or under-exaggeration. A lot of it is a twist on the truth. And when I know trying to convince people that Jesus Christ already came is difficult in light of the lies that we've already been indoctrinated with. But we are conspiracy theorists too, and we already know they can lie to us about everything. Okay? And they have lied to us about everything. But we know through spiritual true encounters in our personal life with Jesus Christ and God that is true and real, and that really did happen. So we can work comfortably knowing from that foundation that that is at least true in this world of lies. And the enemy is doing everything it can to hide it, to discourage you from going to that point, you know, but his word will not pass away. That's a promise from God. And we have the word, and we can rightly read the word and understand it clearly in plain English, what it was saying. And let's just stand on the word throughout all of this, guys. There's a quick check-in. There's some thoughts I've been having about this idea, about the future of the movement. To summarize, we need to be careful. Yes. But we also need to walk righteously with no fear, with the full armor of God, and realize that we have the right to preach the truth and the gospel to anybody and everybody. And we should be doing that regardless of where they stand in the spectrum of good and evil and power or whatever it is. But also be weary that as we get bigger, it will bring more scrutiny. As we get bigger, it will bring attempts to co-opt. As we get bigger, we will have to be very careful about what we do and say next. But also, as we get bigger, we will be reaching more people. And that is a good thing. So there we go, guys. Thanks for listening. I'll be back soon with another video. I'm going live tomorrow with my own live Q&A, but I'm also going on somebody else's channel as well. I don't know if it's going to be live or not. I'll let you know tomorrow. If not, I will make it available on my channel, perhaps on Friday or maybe the day after. We'll see. I am working on getting back on with David Rodriguez at the end of the month. We have rebooked it for the 31st. We will make it happen. It's been kicked back a few times now. And obviously anything else that comes up in the meantime, I'll be letting you guys know. I have just sold my last two copies, by the way, of the Nephilim Look Like Clowns book, the packaged here and ready to go hardcover signed copies. But I will be getting a new batch in April if anyone's interested in a signed copy of the Nephilim Look Like Clowns. So keep an eye out for that as well. Other than that, guys, I'm going to leave it there. Thanks for listening, and as always, God bless.
I want you to get together.